This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. It's a funny thing about life in 2017. Even if you cannot turn on your TV because Tropical Storm Harvey flooded your house, and even if you cannot make a phone call, you could still let the world know you're okay, or call for help, with a tweet, or a Facebook post. People affected by Harvey have been using social networks to disseminate information, seek help, and keep up to date with the news. Later on, you'll hear a conversation I had with Campbell Brown, the head of news and partnerships at Facebook, about how the company sees the path forward for news and tech. Let's begin with Taylor Owen, a professor of digital media and global affairs at the University of British Columbia and a senior fellow at the TU Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. Professor Owen, welcome to 1A.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Professor, let me start with you regarding Tropical Storm Harvey. It's interesting to see how social media has kind of woven into the coverage here. What stands out to you in terms of how social media is affecting the response to this disaster?
Well, I mean, like with most news events now, social media is really amplifying a much wider spectrum of voices and institutions and groups that otherwise would have had access to broad audiences. And I think we're certainly seeing that now, both with the appearance of hoaxes, with fundraising efforts and the critiques of fundraising efforts, with former President Obama using Twitter to direct resources to certain charities and not others, with the current president broadcasting a whole range of messages into this ecosystem, and with individuals who are stranded and need help reaching out and connecting to institutions that might be able to help them. So you're really seeing the whole gamut, I think, of and the messiness and the real-time nature and flow of this new media ecosystem play out.
I feel like sometimes when we have these kinds of conversations, we have to be very specific about what we mean by social media. There are those outlets like, say, Facebook, which are so ubiquitous that a little bit of everybody kind of uses them. And then there are outlets like, say, Snapchat that deal much more with a younger audience, Snapchat and Instagram. I wonder how you see the different social media playing into this discussion specifically about news.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, yes, there's a diversity now, but it's also important to sort of look at the arc of how these platforms have evolved over really the short history of the internet. And I think at the beginning of this whole process of evolution of this digital ecosystem, there was really a really idealistic phase of the internet where some news organizations and some people within news organizations were with real sincerity engaging in this space of hyperlinks and of empowerment where small organizations were all of a sudden getting voice and social media or the internet in general was having this real decentralizing effect on both the hierarchical institutions of news organizations and governments and also leading to new forms of organization in that ecosystem. And that sort of evolved in to a certain degree to the social web, and where news organizations all of a sudden had this access to an incredible audience they didn't have before. All of a sudden, their readers were engaging in these new spaces that weren't their newspapers, weren't their cable broadcast or their radio broadcast, and they could reach them. And that was an incredibly exciting time as well. The challenge we're in now, I think, is something a little bit different in that the internet, yes, while companies like Snapchat and some other slightly smaller ones are relevant. Really, the internet is dominated by four or five large platform companies. And for a large number of people, they are the internet. They are the filters through which people see the world. And in the news space, really, that's Facebook and Google. And so that's created sort of a number of incentives and an architecture of the internet that I think news organizations really need to think carefully about how they engage in that space.
Yeah, and a number of news organizations have made it clear that they don't really want to be, or excuse me, a number of social networks have made it clear that they don't really want to be news organizations. They're trying not to play that role. They're trying to partner with news organizations for their content, but they don't want to get into all the sticky, messy editorial stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, and then the clear case of this is Facebook. And when we're talking about journalism, ultimately, we're talking about Facebook, because that is where a large number of people receive most of their news about the world, and it is the most relevant platform for journalistic publishers. And Mark Zuckerberg has sort of famously said for a long time that they're a media company, a technology company, not a platform, right, or not a publisher. And what he's trying to say there is that they are a neutral, open platform where anyone can share ideas, unless they're particularly extreme, which we can talk a little bit more about where they draw that line. But they want to be an open platform for anybody to say anything, not a place that, like a newspaper, that is highly editorialized, where they have a role in deciding what is said. And there's real structural, mostly economic reasons, and some ideological as well. They believe in this being an open, free space for speech. But there's also very strong economic reasons for them to want to be that, right? Mm-hmm. Their whole business model is based on getting as many people as possible to share as much content as possible, as much as possible,
right,
so the data about that process can be collected. And so at some point, publishers are really faced with this tricky dilemma of, do you participate in this ecosystem where there's this immense access to audience and ability to engage with citizens in a way they might not have been able to before, but in so doing, hand over a lot of those traditional roles of a publisher, the ability to monetize your data, to have data about your audience.
Right, right.
These core functions of a publisher, they have to relinquish when they engage in that Facebook space. This is a real dilemma for news organizations.
We're speaking to University of British Columbia Professor Taylor Owen, who teaches digital media and global affairs there. Also a senior fellow at the Tau Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. Momentarily, you'll be hearing a conversation that we had with Facebook executive Campbell Brown at this year's Aspen Ideas Festival. Taylor will be with us thereafter to share some more of his thoughts, but we welcome your thoughts as well. Comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or email 1a@wamu.org. Let me get to a few of your comments now. Sundays wrote on our website, the1a.org, "No, we do not need Silicon Valley shaping the news. We do not need anyone shaping the news. We need people reporting news factually and investigative reporters covering matters objectively." Christy tweets, "Facebook was most helpful for info during wildfires in 2015 in North Central Washington. Best source of local info, also for recovery efforts." And Mike tweeted, "Facebook is designed to provide what people want to see, not need to see. It will just create a larger echo chamber and will just make things worse." Professor Owen, I wonder about Mike's last comment, because I do take his point that Facebook is algorithmic and it tailors what you want to see. But I feel like that kind of started before Facebook kicked up. I mean, Fox News and MSNBC both signed on in 1996. Facebook didn't kick up until the 2000s. So I wonder if Facebook was just kind of riding a wave that had already begun.
Yeah, and the isolation of people's access to information extends far beyond just Fox News and the advent of cable news, right? I mean, we have always had a high degree of selection in the kind of information we're exposed to based on what magazines we read and newspapers we subscribe to and all that sort of thing. But the character of the way Facebook shapes the discourse is something a bit different, I think. And you mentioned the role of algorithms in shaping what we see. And part of the challenge here is that when I watch Fox News, I have a pretty clear idea who's making the decision on what I see and why, right? There's a degree of transparency about what I'm getting. When I look on Facebook, I don't know why I'm getting the information I get in my feed. And it's the opacity of that process. And it isn't just that I'm seeing what I want to see. I am to a certain degree, and there's real incentives behind that, right? Advertisers are more likely to buy ads alongside content where people are happy watching it than where people are angry watching it, right? Or frustrated or upset or disagree. But there's also a whole set of other incentives based in those algorithms that we just don't see. We don't know, for example, why all of a sudden we see a lot more video inside Facebook. right? So if I'm a news publisher and I want to reach lots of people using the Facebook platform, and all of a sudden it's video that's being prioritized in that algorithm,
right,
the incentives are very strong for me to shift my entire organization to start producing video not maybe producing text.
We have to get to our conversation with Campbell Brown in just a moment, but I did want to put one more question to you before we have to pause. Truck writes at our website, how is Silicon Valley shaping your news? You want real detailed factual news? Go to a legitimate news source, a news source that is invested in intelligent and ethical reporters and news staff. There are a few left. I wonder, Professor, what you think these intelligent, fact, ethical news sources are mostly wanting to know from Facebook as they chart their digital futures. What's like the one big question that they're trying to get answered right now, briefly, before we have to pause?
Yeah, I think the big thing they want is more transparency about how content is circulated and prioritized and distributed inside the platform. I think they just really want to know with some greater certainty how the content, once they put a piece of content into the Facebook ecosystem, how is it distributed and why and to whom? And it's that lack of transparency and that uncertainty that's very destabilizing for the traditional news producers.
Well, we'll try to get a little more clarity on that as we play back our conversation with former news anchor Campbell Brown. She now heads up news partnerships for Facebook, talking about whether or not Facebook is getting in the business of news, who's making the decisions there, about what we're seeing, and more importantly, what we might not be seeing. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A, coming to you from two intelligent and ethical news sources, WAMU and NPR.